You know, we need to discover the power of praise. A little boy playing one day, and all of a sudden he jumps up and shouts, "Praise the Lord." And his mother said, "What'd you do that for?" The boy shrugged his shoulder and said, "I don't know. It was just inside of me and it had to come out." I think we need to be more like that little boy and praise the Lord. Give the Lord praise. You know, Hebrews 13:15, New King James says, "Therefore, by him let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name." Now, the contemporary English version says, "Our sacrifice is to keep offering praise to God in the name of Jesus." These verses talk about continually offering praise. You know, in the midst of life, son, we're dealing with all kinds of stuff, all kinds of situations, and something. And sometimes we get so focused on our problems and the crisis that we're going through that if we're not careful, we don't praise God. When difficulties happen, we don't need to lose sight of God. We need to praise God. Because he is the one that's going to get us out of the situation. You know, the Bible's full of people that were in all kinds of situations. You know, all you got to do is read the Old Testament with the children of Israel, and you find out they were in all kinds of different situations. But you know, God changed their circumstances when they honored him. Now, praising God is something that we need to do continually, every day. Hebrews 13:15 again. I want to read it from the Voice. That's a new translation that I've gotten a hold of, and I really like how it says some things. "Through Jesus, let us keep offering to God our own sacrifice, the praise of our lips that confess his name without ceasing." Every day, praise God. Psalms 35:28 says, "And my tongue shall speak of your righteousness and your praise all day long." You know, he deserves our praise. He's worthy of our praise. I mean, what he's done for us is worthy to praise him. You know, too many people go to church on Sunday, sing a couple of songs, give a little praise to God, and think that's good enough for the whole week. That actually leads you to not having a close relationship with God. You know, if you're with somebody a lot, you have a closer relationship to them. Is that not correct? That's why you need to talk. Some people won't talk about wanting to have a close relationship with God. If you want to have a close relationship with God, well, talk to him. Commune with him. Give him praise for what he's done for you. We learn to praise God. Just like you learn to do anything else. You learn to praise God. Now, some people talk about, you know, actually, and I don't mean this to be sacrilegious, but you learn how to stand behind the pulpit and minister. It's just not something that comes automatic. That's why you go to Bible school. That's why we got Rhema Bible Training College over there, Bible College. We got 240 of them in 50 nations. It's to train people to how to go into ministry. Hello. I mean, you know, you have to know how to talk if you're going to stand up here, you know, and say something. And you got to know something if you're going to get up here and talk. Hello. You know, so we need to learn how to praise God. How many of you ladies had to learn how to cook? Amen. Yeah. You have to, you know, if you've never put fuel in a car, you got to learn how to do it. My wife doesn't know how to put fuel in a car because she won't do it. She says, "Why do I need to learn how far? You can do it, or one of the grand boys can do it." You know, how many of you guys just stop thinking about, for, you know, you, as you were, you know, working, I started working, you know, on my car, and I had to learn, you know, 5/16 inch wrench and 9/16 inch wrench. You know, I had to learn box in and open ends and all of those. How many of you guys know what I'm talking about? And you know what? We need to learn how to praise God. Amen. You know, you can't take a Phillips head screwdriver when you got a slotted screw. It won't work. You know, you need to learn how to praise God. And the Bible in one place says, pray without ceasing. And in another place, we need to realize we need to praise without ceasing. Now, praising God, you know, is a sacrifice that we offer to God. You know, I see some people fanning like this because they say it's hot in here. Well, just wait a while. It'll get cold. I think we'd had the, it switched over already, and we had to switch it back, I think. You know, it says here, here, let him continually offer the sacrifice of praise. And in the English Testament, our sacrifice is to keep offering praise to God. Now, Hebrews 13:15 in the Message Bible says, let us take our place outside with Jesus, no longer pouring out the sacrificial blood of animals, but pouring out the sacrificial praise from our lips to God in Jesus' name. Now, you see, we don't have to come like they used to have to come and offer the blood of the animals on the altar, because Jesus Christ has already died on Calvary and shed his blood for our salvation. So now, our sacrifice is the sacrifice of praise that we have with our lips. You know, Jesus offered up that sacrifice for that one time and for all. You know, once, if you go back and study in the Old Testament, the children of Israel had to bring once a year. There was a special lamb that they brought without blemish, and they would kill that lamb and put the blood on the altar and wipe the blood on the scapegoat, and they would send him out into the wilderness. And every year that was a covering for their sins. But we have been redeemed. It's not our sin not covered. We've been redemed. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says we've become a new person in Christ Jesus. I'm just going to paraphrase it, 2017 language. You know, now the sacrifice we offer to God is our praise him no matter what is happening or what is going on in our life. You know, sometimes depending on what's happening, sometimes it's easy to praise God. Sometimes because of what's going on, it's not that easy to praise God. But we got to praise him anyway. You know, sometimes you don't feel like praising God. Sometimes you don't feel good physically. You're fighting symptoms. You still praise God. Sometimes you're struggling with a painful relationship. You still praise God. You know, sometimes you're weary and tired, but you still praise God. I mean, all the time I'm driving along. I mean, just the other day I was driving along, you know, and she was in the car, and I just said, well, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. And said, what's the matter? I said, nothing. I'm just praising God. You know, now you do, you know, sometimes you do that when there is a problem, but sometimes you just need to say, thank you, Jesus. Amen. Come on now. You know. And what is important is that you begin to praise God out of your heart. Not because somebody told you to. Not because you think you have to. But because of what God has done for you, you want to. You know, when somebody does something nice for you, how many of you say thank you? Is it because you have to or because you want to because they've done something nice for you? Am I right? Well, Jesus has done more than something nice for us. He's redeemed us. He's given us salvation. See, John 10:10 says, the thief, the enemy, the devil come to steal, kill, and destroy. But I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. I thank God every day for abundant life. Amen? You know, maybe a few words of a song may come to you. Well, just begin to praise God with the song. Somebody says, I can't sing it. God don't care. Just praise him anyway. You know, what is important is develop the habit of praising God. I said develop the habit of praising God. And I didn't turn my phone off. No, I did. Thank God it didn't go off. I've been preaching many times and had people's phones go off. It don't bother me. I just keep on going and stuff like that. Bothers other people. Don't bother me. You know what? Develop a habit. Yes. How do you develop a habit? By continually doing the same thing over and over again. Right. Till it becomes second nature to you. You know that? You know, how many of you had to learn to ride a bicycle? Pretty soon, it just become second nature to you. You didn't even think about it. When you first started, now you did, but you just start pushing the bike and running beside of it, and then you jump on it and take off and go, choom, down the road. Cliff back there, he still rides. How many miles did you ride last week? How many did you ride the week before? Huh? 50 miles he rode on his bike. Praise the Lord for him. That wasn't me. How many of you want to go ride 50 miles on a bike? He's raised his. I don't think I want to. But you see, in fact, most of us that learn to ride a bike, we could go get on a bicycle right now and ride it. And a little, at first we'd be a little wobbly probably, but we'd be going because we know how, we learned how to balance the thing. But it wouldn't be very long. You ride it just a little bit, wouldn't be very long, and you'd be familiar again. It would all come back to you. See, you need to start praising God. If you used to praise God and you don't do it anymore, start praising him. It'll all come back to you. In the good times, praise God. In the bad times, praise God. In the in-between time, praise God. All the time, praise God. Amen?
Amen.
You know, there is a story in Acts 16, 25 and 26. And I'm going to read from the Contemporary English Bible. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing praises to God while the other prisoners listened. Suddenly a strong earthquake shook the jail to its foundation. The doors opened, the chains fell off and off all the prisoners. Now, if you read the whole story, you'll find out they had been arrested. They had been beaten with a whip, the same kind of whip that they whipped Jesus with, the Romans. And now they had put them in the innermost part of the prison. They were in stocks, their hands and their feet. And they were praying and praising God. I guarantee you they didn't feel like praying and praising God. Not after being beat up and thrown in the jail. It was probably a sacrifice for them to praise God. But as they, and the prisoners heard them. They just weren't whispering. They were singing loud enough everybody heard them. But as they praised God, the jailhouse began to rock. And the chains dropped off and the doors flew open. There's a whole lot of shaking going on. Yeah. This was the original jailhouse rock.
Yeah.
Come on now. That's just a little funny thought, but it was. The place was shaking and it was rocking. God shows up when we offer him praise. The enemy may think he has you down, has you in a hopeless situation. You begin to praise God. And things will change.
Yes,
praise God anyway.
Amen.
There's power in praising God. I got a book out there called The Untapped Power of Praise. Now this message didn't come from that, but there were several messages I preach on praise. In fact, that book came from the fact that the Lord spoke to me one day and he said, you know, people are not missing it in their believing. They're missing it in their praising. And that's one reason that I did that teaching on praise. You know, continually praising God is beneficial. Now, if you only praise God because the preacher said so or somebody else said so, you know, then it's not you praising God. You just doing, you know, my mom used to say, Kenneth, take out the trash. I did it because I had to. You know, not because I wanted to, but because she said so. We need to praise God because we want to, not because somebody said we're supposed to. Now, you see, if we understand the benefits of praising God, it will create a desire to praise God or create a want to in us. You know, many times in order for you to want to do something, you got to understand why you need to do it, right? And then you do it not because you're told to, but because you want to. So I'm going to give you 8 benefits of praising God. Now, there'd be a whole bunch more, but, you know, it's just 8 that I come up with here. Benefit number one, there it is. Praising God helps us to focus on God and what he can do. Praising God helps us focus on God. Man without God is selfish. Leave that up there until I get to the next point, Cliff. I forgot to tell you that. All right. You know, man is selfish without God. But a person who praises God becomes more God conscious and becomes more loving. We live in a self-centered world. But praising God helps us to remember that it's not just us. It's not all about us. It's about him. You know, in Romans 8:31, the voice, and we don't have that translation, so I'll read it for you. So what should we say about all this? If God is on our side, then tell me, whom should we fear? All right. Praising God helps us to focus on God and what he can do. All right, benefit number two. Benefit number two says, praising God helps us to humble ourselves and acknowledge our need for God's help. That's one thing that praising God does. It helps us to realize that we need God's help. Right? You know, there was an old song back in the, back in the 50s, I think it was. I can handle this job all by myself. No, you can't handle life all by yourself. You need God. Amen. We need to remember to continually put our trust in God and praise him for what's happening in our lives. Now, I'm just going to read. He's going to keep that up for you because some of you are writing it down. I would read Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Most of you know it anyway. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he shall direct your path. Praising God helps us to be more willing to acknowledge our need for him. You know, a lot of times people, they say, well, I've tried everything, now I'm going to pray. Well, no, you should have been praying and praising God before you tried everything else. Then you wouldn't be in the mess you're in. Come on now. All right, now, look at benefit number three. Benefit number three. Praising God brings the enemy's work to naught in our lives or to nothing. Praising God brings the enemy's work to naught or nothing in our lives. See, praising God pushes back the enemy oppression and depression. It stops Satan from being able to kill, steal, and destroy. Amen. Hello, come on. Amen. Now, I'm going to go back to the Old Testament and talk about a story. King Jehoshaphat, the people of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir had come against the Israelites to utterly destroy them. So they called a prayer meeting and they prayed. And then the Lord told them what to do. Said, assemble yourself, assemble the army, assemble everybody, get everybody ready, and go out to go to where they're at. And in fact, they didn't, even for you that are veterans, you understand it, they didn't even have to send out a reconnaissance group to find out where the enemy was. He told them where he was. Now, they got up the next morning and got ready to go. And now in 2 Chronicles 20, that whole thing's there. In 22, it says that he took the singers and put them out in front of the army and everybody else. Now, when they began to sing and praise, the Lord set ambushments against the people of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, who had come against Judah, and they were defeated. Now, the rest of the story goes on, that as they began to march toward the camp of the enemy, praising God, that the enemy, Moab, Ammon, and Mount Seir, they all got to fighting one another and kill one another off. When they got there, they didn't have to do anything. In fact, back whenever they were called the prayer meeting, and one of the guys rose up and he gave out a prophecy and said, get up, get ready and go on down there, but stand still. You won't have to fight. Yes. You'll see God work. Yes. Well, praising God then will cause things to happen. And when we finally get to the situation, it's already been taken care of. Yes. Now, I didn't say it'd be easy to praise God when everything's going all haywire and everything's going against you. It's not going to be that easy. But you just keep praising God anyway. Turn to your neighbor and say, praise God anyway. Praise God. All right, now, benefit number four. Praising God closes the door to complaining and worry. When you start praising God, you have a more positive attitude and you can resist worry and fear. You know, sometimes people do more complaining than they do praising. They always complaining about everything. Well, start praising God, and then you won't have nothing to complain about. Hello, come on. Amen. Praising God helps you to remember what he's done for you and what he can do. It brings back to us the fact if he did it once, he can do it again. Because he never changes. He said, I am the Lord, I change not. There in Malachi. And then in Hebrews, it says Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. He doesn't change. So praise him because he is the same God with Israel. He's the same God with us. He doesn't change. If he did it for the children of Israel, he'd do it for his children today, which are all of us. Yes. You know, I don't have time to go into a complete theological explanation, but if you read over in Galatians, the third chapter, it says those that have become born-again Christians are spiritually the seed of Abraham. Well, the seed of Abraham naturally was the Israelites. Right. The seed of Abraham spiritually is the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. You can read it there in Galatians chapter 3. You can read, do a study on, you know. Now, number five, praising God helps us to stay in faith for the promises of God. You know, after we ask God, we should continue to then praise God. Even when we don't see it happening, we still praise God. We keep praising him until the promises happen. In fact, I got a sermon I preached, I don't know when I preached it, three or four years ago, I guess. Say it till you see it. You know, Mark 11:23 says, say to the mountain, be cast in the sea. Well, you keep saying it. Yeah. Praising God helps us to keep the switch of faith turned on. until we receive what we need from God. Number six, praising God makes us sensitive to His presence and His voice. Amen. You know, we sometimes sing that song, the singers sing it about the presence. What is it? Yeah, the presence of the Holy Spirit, presence. Y'all sing that. You know, I don't know songs. I know once they start singing them, they start coming back to me. But to sit here and recall them, I can't do it. But, you know, if you're going to be sensitive to somebody, you know, you have to know that person and understand them. So if you praising God makes you sensitive to the things of God and understand how God works. And also you listen to what He has to say. We become more in tune with the voice of God as we praise Him. Now, when I was in the Army, I was in communications and I had top secret crypto clearance and I did all that kind of stuff, but I could do landline teletype radio, teletype voice, and also Morse code. I could do anything in the communication field. Now, when we were on doing the radio teletype, I had a unit there, and you start tuning it, and it goes, you know, it starts up high frequency, and it goes. And when you hit that right there, you're in tune right there. If you go past it, it starts. Now, as you're typing on that teletype or doing voice, whatever, all of a sudden, if you begin to hear that sound, that means it's getting off frequency. It's getting, and so you got to put it back, because when it gets off frequency, you can't get the right message that they're trying to send to you, and you can't get the right message sent to them. I mean, if you're doing the radio teletype, you type in there, and you type in one word, it may come out on the other end just. A bunch of ABC, YU, be nothing. Just a bunch of garble, we called it. Glenn knows that because he works in some of that stuff. But you see, but we had to constantly. You just didn't set it and leave it. You had to be constantly aware to stay in tune. And you come back, if you left and came back, the first thing you did was check it and make sure that that you were still in tune, because it gets off. It can get off tune. Now, that's the way we need to be with God. See, the more in tune you are with Him, the more closer you are to Him, and, you know, it helps you. And so praising God helps you to stay right on the spot. Okay? Psalms 23:3 says, He inhabits the praises of His people. Yes. Inhabit. What's that mean? Dwell. Stay. If you inhabit something, you're there. You're dwelling there. You're staying there. After we praise God for a while, it seems that God's close to us. Yes. Now, benefit number seven. Praising God will rejuvenate and strengthen us. You know, rejuvenate, what does that mean? Somebody know what's that? What's rejuvenate mean? Renew us. Renew. Rejuvenate is to renew. You know, after we praise God for we He not only changes our situation, but He changes us. Amen. And our hearts become encouraged. You know, praising God increases our level of joy. In His presence, there's fullness of joy, according to Psalm 16:11. All right, now, Number eight, benefit number eight. Praising God opens the door for God's power to be displayed in our lives. Let's look at the early church. I'm going to read these scriptures while they leave that up there. Luke 24, 51 through 53. Now it came to pass, while he blessed them, that he parted from them and was carried into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. See, Luke, this is the latter part of Luke. Luke was written to his friend. Luke wrote to his friend Theophilus. Now, if you will take, and Luke also penned the book of Acts. If you will take and join Acts with the end of Luke, you can tell that that it's the same continuation of the same letter. Or a different letter, the second letter, in other words, what I'm trying to say. Now, look in Acts 2, 46 and 47. So continually, with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. See, Christians today, I don't think we realize the power of praising God. My dad said in his book, he's probably got it out there in Prevailing Prayer to Peace on page 54. I wouldn't even have to, see, it wouldn't be plagiarism if I didn't even tell you that, because my name's Kenneth Hagin and his name is Kenneth Hagin, so it's just one and the same. He says, now get a hold of this. If we want to see the same manifestations of power that the early church had, we're going to have to see the same manifestation of praise that they had. And I just read to you what they did. After Jesus, in Luke 24, this is after Jesus went away. They caught up in the clouds. And they worshiped him, returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. And then in Acts 2, praising God and having favor with all people. Praising God. I want you to notice praising the God. So we have a choice. We can praise God or we can focus on the problem. We can worship God or we can worry and fret about what's happening in life. We can look to God and what he can do, or we can complain about what we can't do. God's looking for people that will praise him. If he can find somebody that will praise him, he finds a place that he can manifest his power. He finds a place that he can perform the supernatural. So it's important for us to discover the power of praise. Praise the Lord. Anybody get anything out of this tonight? Praise God, praise God. Everybody stand. Let's just praise the Lord for a minute. Heavenly Father, we give you praise. We thank you, Father. We praise you for your son, Jesus. We praise you for all the benefits that you've given us. We praise you for all the promises that you've given us. We thank you, Lord, that you are performing those in our lives. Father, help us to be more aware of your presence by praising you. We thank you for it. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. With every head bowed and every eye closed, I never like to minister a message. I don't give an opportunity for somebody to find Jesus or somebody to rededicate their life. You know, many times people have accepted Christ at a young age or sometime in their life, but then they just sort of drifted away and they need to rededicate their life. Anybody like that in this congregation tonight, if you're here, I want to pray with you. Let me see your hand. I want to pray with you. Anybody, anywhere? Well, praise the Lord. Hallelujah to Jesus. Anybody want to be prayed for healing tonight? If you do, step out and come on up here. We'll pray for you. You'll be made whole in the name of Jesus. Glory to God. Well, praise the Lord. Here comes a young lady. Amen. Glory to God. Let us thank you, Jesus. Reach your hands out as we pray. Heavenly Father, right now we lay hands on Julian. Father, I thank you right now that the healing power of God flowing into her body. You were said in the word, you lay hands on the sick and they will recover. I thank you for that healing power now in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. We got some prayer cloths. Here's some prayer cloths right here. Just acid reflux and deliverance. I don't know what from. Reach your hands out and let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you right now. We lay hands on these cloths knowing that the anointing of the power of God goes into these cloths. And when they're taking the sick inflicted, that power will flow out and flow into those people and heal them and deliver them and set them free in the name of Jesus. I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. See, that's done in recognition with Bible. The Bible says in Acts 19:11-12, they took handkerchiefs and aprons from the Apostle Paul when they were given to the sick. The disease that departed, they were evil spirits, they left in Jesus' name. We do this in all of our crusades. I don't know how many great testimonies we have. We do it every Sunday morning at church there at the main campus in Broken Arrow. In fact, I distribute them out and have the people come. I don't do it. The people all come down. These kids, I'll tell you, they're all there. And we lay hands on them. We've had some tremendous, tremendous things happen because of the prayer calls. Amen. You see, the power of God's present anywhere, everywhere, all the time. All you got to do is reach up and tap into it. Amen. It's just like, you know, you got the radio signal, the satellite, your satellite radio. I mean, listening to the satellite radio driving over here from Tulsa, but you can listen to the same thing over here. And we're several miles apart. Why? Because it's there. The signal's there. The power of God is there. All you got to do is tap into it. Oh, that's another sermon. I don't need to start preaching another sermon. Praise God. Hey, you first-time guests, we have a special gift that we want to give you. If you would just go with Miss Jane here, she'll give you that special gift. It's a special, special gift that we put together for you. You're going to like it. Praise the Lord. Amen and amen. All right, praise God. Hey, next Sunday night right here, 6 o'clock, come on back. Bring some people with you. We need to grow our crowd a little bit. And if you see some of the people that are normally here and they're not here, check on them. See if they're okay. You know, I'm always asking Greg. Greg will tell you. I say, well, so-and-so here. And he said, no. And I said, well, check on them. Don't I, Greg? Yeah. I know it's John and Bonnie and Matt are not here tonight. You might need to check on them. Okay? Praise the Lord. How many of you enjoyed tonight? Well, let's praise God one more time. Father, we give you praise. We glorify you. We give you glory and honor and praise in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.